The United States versus Vasquez.
Abarca.
May it please the court and counsel. The good news, Your Honors, is I'm the last case of the day, and I know we're all tired and want to go to lunch. But the bad news is that my issue is a statutory construction case, so I know if Your Honors are like me, we don't like these kind of issues. My client...
Isn't this Gomez-Hernandez case that was decided by the Eighth Circuit just a few months ago, isn't that right on point for this case?
Your Honor, is that one that's cited in the government's brief?
I don't know.
Because I could find no authority when I was doing the Westlaw search when we were writing the briefs, and I don't think that Ms. Griffin cited any case that ruled on the newly amended Section 2L1.2. Did I miss that, Your Honor?
Just go on with your argument. You can file
Your Honor,
it later.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you. If I did, Your Honor, I apologize. I know when I did my briefing, and I think when Ms. Griffin and the government did their briefing, there was no decisions. There was one unpublished decision by this court that said in dicta that a sexual abuse of a minor was considered a crime of violence under the newly amended 2L1.2 of the sentencing guidelines, but that was in dicta, unpublished opinion, and of course that was not briefed by the parties below. To recap real quickly what the issue is here, is that my client, Mr. Vasquez, asserts that the conduct, his conduct, his criminal conduct, underlying his Illinois conviction for sexual abuse of a minor does not rise to the level of a crime of violence under the new amendments to the guideline to Section 2L1.2. Now, I know on the surface that, of course, immediately strikes all of us in this courtroom that sexual abuse of a minor has to be a crime of violence because it's always been interpreted that way before. But if you look at the newly amended guideline here, and if you look at the conduct of my client, and of course the conduct of my client involved a romantic relationship with a girl that he thought was 16 when he was 17, and this girl in fact turned out to be 12, and what he was convicted of was touching her breast, so that was the sexual abuse of a minor, but it was a nonviolent, consensual sexual conduct. And I assert that that is not a crime of violence under the newly amended guideline. And why I assert that is that the Sentencing Commission, of course, in this newly amended guideline, tried to do a more graduated approach to the punishment for illegal reentrance, undocumented aliens who come back to the country without permission. And the Sentencing Commission in this new amendment tried to say, we're not going to just say, okay, all illegal undocumented aliens who come in with an aggravated felony get that 16 offense level increase automatically. They tried to graduate that in accordance with the underlying criminal conduct. And if you look at the two criteria for the crime of violence here, only if you agree with my client and my position that you have to have both an element of violence, and it has to be included as one of those specified crimes, does that deserving of a 16 offense level increase? Only if you do that are you giving intent to the Sentencing Commission's intent behind amending this guideline. Now, recall that there's an example that the Sentencing Commission gave in the reason for the amendments. And they said, we don't want to give these illegal reentrants the same higher sentence for first-degree murder as for simple assault. Now, the district court below said, basically disagree with the Sentencing Commission's reasons for amendment, and if you adopt and if you affirm the district court below, what you're going to be doing is saying the Sentencing Commission was wrong, and we're not going to back what the Sentencing Commission intended by doing this, because if you affirm the sentence in my client's case and say the district court was right, then simple assault and a first-degree murder is still going to be getting the 16 offense level increase. And that's precisely the example that the Sentencing Commission gave, saying we don't think that they should get the same punishment. Now, the government asserts that a simple assault under Illinois law would not have resulted in a 16
this
offense.
This isn't a simple assault when there's a minor involved.
I'm sorry, Judge?
It isn't a simple assault when a minor is involved.
No, Your Honor, it's not.
Well, that's what you're arguing to us.
No, actually, I was talking about the example given by the Sentencing Commission, where the Sentencing Commission said murder and simple assault should not be given the same punishment. Well, let's go to your example, Judge. If we're talking about sexual abuse of a minor, in this case it was a nonviolent, consensual sexual conduct, should that illegal reentrant get the same punishment?
Can a minor give consent to something that's illegal?
No, of course it can't, Your Honor.
Well, then it isn't with consent.
Well, but, Your Honor, if I may, the difference, of course, between a forcible rape and...
We're not talking about rape.
No, we're not, Your Honor.
Right.
I'm trying to juxtapose the two different kinds of sexual...
You're trying to justify.
I'm trying to actually juxtapose, Your Honor. If we have a forcible sexual rape here...
Right.
Let's say you have the same 12-year-old, Judge. Let's say we got a forcible rape of this 12-year-old by my client when he was 17.
Right.
Versus in a romantic relationship where he's convicted of touching her breast.
That would be a 16.5 for boy, kick up either way.
Yes, Your Honor, if we adopt right. Judge Corca's...
Right. Yeah, I understand it.
Yes. And what I'm suggesting...
You say that's outrageous. It shouldn't happen.
Your Honor, I'm saying that's against the... That's contrary to the intent of the Sentencing Commission. I think the Sentencing Commission intended to do a more graduated approach to the punishments here. And only if we adopt our position below and my client's position do we have the difference between, Judge, a forcible rape and a sexual contact here between two people who are having some kind of romantic relationship, or between the example that the commission gave, the Sentencing Commission gave, which was first-degree murder and simple assault. The Sentencing Commission used that example, Judge. We do not want to have the same punishment for first-degree murder and for someone who has a prior conviction for simple assault. We want to have a more graduated approach. So that's also true in the sexual misconduct area, forcible rape versus consensual statutory rape or sexual abuse of a minor in this case. But if we look at the face of the information that he pled guilty to and the PSR below, that's clearly a non-forcible.
Is the paramount part of your argument the fact that the child involved didn't complain or invited the caress?
No, Your Honor, I'm trying to...
Or was willing to acquiesce in it as opposed to... How much of a consenter, when would you kick in this when you're talking about minors? Would it only be in the case of a sexual intercourse or anything less than that wouldn't kick it in?
The 16 offense level, Judge?
Yeah.
If you look at the newly amended guideline, Judge, there's an 8-level increase for an aggravated felony.
So you'd say 8 levels would be appropriate for that
16. For like a statutory rape or the sexual abuse of a minor here.
What would it be for one like this one? That same thing would be the 8-point kick?
Would be the 8 for the sexual abuse of a minor where it's nonviolent,
so
where there's a consensual
romantic
relationship.
Your suggestion is that judge should have used the 8 points, not 16.5.
Yes, Your Honor.
Gotcha.
Because otherwise...
Well, I understand why.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, otherwise...
Your rationalization is one I understand.
Yes, Your Honor. And I'm trying to point out, Judge, of course, the difference between a forcible rape versus a little romantic relationship between a 17-year-old with a 12-year-old, and there's got to be some differential distinction in terms of the punishment.
But so, there's no legal here.
I'm sorry, Judge.
You cannot give consent to that.
No, of course you can't, Your Honor.
So
the
you're spinning the wheel.
You mean legal consent.
Right.
You give regular consent. But
you're spinning the wheel.
Yes, but if the court below had said, no, we need both of these elements, the element of force, there's not an actual element of force here.
No.
And it has to be one of the listed crimes listed there. The sexual abuse of a minor here does not comport with the crime of violence definition. Both the element of force... Because even though there's an implied force here, there's no actual force, as there would be in a forcible rape. And it's not one of the listed offenses. So therefore, it drops back down to the...
Save eight yourself months. A little time.
Yes, Judge. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good morning, Your Honors. There are three reasons why I think Judge Kokoris's opinion clearly interpreted the guideline correctly. Marching through the ordinary way one would approach a guideline such as this, looking to the plain meaning of the guideline, I think that the defendant's argument ignores the most important word in that guideline, which is the word includes. The sentencing guidelines themselves, in section 1B1.1 in the definition section, make it absolutely clear that includes is a term of illustration. It is not a term of limitation. And this guideline that we are directed to find the meaning of crime of violence for purposes of these reentry after deportation cases says that a crime of violence has an element of force, actual, attempted, or threatened, and includes certain enumerated offenses. And that list of enumerated offenses is very specific. It includes forcible sexual offenses. And parenthetically, after it says forcible sexual offenses, it includes, again, any aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a minor. So the sentencing guidelines recognize that sexual abuse of a minor is going to be an offense that includes force. And they enumerate that offense, among others, to make absolutely clear that when they're talking about crimes of violence, they're including that among those offenses. For example, the Sentencing Commission could have said, and is one of the following offenses, had they meant that it had to be both subsection 1 and subsection 2. That is, if the Sentencing Commission had intended for the court to look in every case to whether there is actual attempted or threatened force.
In a case like this, is it considered an aggravated assault on a minor?
It is, and the defendant is not disputing that. The defendant was convicted
of aggravated.
Absolutely. Aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a minor. That is precisely.
That's an interesting thing. What constitutes less than aggravated? Has it to do with the age of the minor, or does it have to do with the act itself?
The child in question here was 12 years old.
Yeah, but I say, is the aggravation aspect of it created by the age of the child or the act itself?
You know, I believe that it's a combination of both, but I think the fact that the child was 12 years old is what makes it aggravated in this case.
Any sexual assault or touching or anything else of a 12-year-old would by definition become an aggravated
I can't
assault.
Speak authoritatively about the extent of Illinois law on this subject. I do know that in this case, because
I used to be able to, but you see they keep changing the laws on me, which is one of the horrible things.
I'm not certain what precisely triggered the aggravated designation in this case. I do know that there was intercourse between the defendant and this child. The defendant was charged with that. He pled guilty, and the guilty plea was to the touching of the child's breast. And again, it's a child under 12 years old. And so given the nature of what he pled guilty to, I believe the aggravation comes in because of the child's age. However, I think it is critically important for the court to note that the facts underlying the offense here have absolutely no bearing on the decision of the court, because the definition that we're talking about in 2L1.2 only looks at statutory elements. There's absolutely no need in the amended version of 2L1.2 for the court ever to look at underlying facts, because what the definition says is that these offenses will have as an element force, actual, attempted, or threatened, or be one of the following enumerated offenses. Or in other words, and include, would include one of the following enumerated offenses. So there is really no need for the court to be engaged whatsoever with the specific facts of the case, as the defendant has been. Although, as long as the court is interested in those facts, it is important to note that the child was 12 years old, that there was sexual intercourse, and that there were four different counts charged against the defendant. But indeed, there is no need to look at those underlying facts, because element means statutory element of the offense. And I think under the defendant's definition, abuse of a minor, which I'll get to in a second, the purpose of this amended guideline, but which inherently involves force, which the district court here recognized, which this court has repeatedly recognized in a number of contexts, would never serve as an offense that would trigger the 16-level increase if the court were to adopt the defendant's position. And I do not think that was the intent of the Sentencing Commission. In fact, I think the Sentencing Commission was absolutely explicit about aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a minor because of the inherent...
You say that so fast. What? Aggravated?
Aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a minor,
okay.
Which is expressly... in
He's had a little hard of hearing, so you got to keep your...
I will. I apologize, Your Honor. Which is expressly included...
I apologize to him. He's not hard of hearing.
In that guideline. Because what the Sentencing Commission said in its explanation of the purpose for this amendment is that it did want to account for the dangerousness and the seriousness of the offense that was committed by the alien who reentered after deportation. And as I've said, this court has repeatedly recognized it is hard to fathom an offense more fraught with danger and seriousness than the possibility of recidivism concerning abuse of a minor. It is an offense that carries any number of risks for the minor. It is abhorrent to society. This court has said that in a number of contexts, and the district court said that here. It is conclusively violent. In fact, within this sentencing guideline itself, there's a parenthetical after the description of a forcible sexual offense. So force and violence are engrafted onto the notion of any sexual abuse of a minor. So clearly, to treat this guideline, to read its plain meaning the way I think it must be read, and to say that includes, which is a term of illustration and not limitation, merely illustrates a number of offenses that will qualify, also comports entirely with the purpose of the Sentencing Commission. And finally,
you're acquainted with this Gomez-Hernandez case from the Eighth Circuit?
Your Honor, I am not familiar with that case, and I don't believe that we cited it in our brief.
Look it up when you get back.
I will, Your Honor.
Might be helpful.
Finally, I think if you look at, if we're talking about, if you don't think that the plain meaning itself, which I believe it does, clearly answers this question, and if you don't see that the purpose of the Sentencing Commission...
Refresh my recollection. What county was this conviction for aggravated sexual assault?
Your Honor, I think it was in Cook County, but I'm not entirely sure.
Hmm. Cook County?
And again, you know, that would be among the facts that I think... including the specific laws in that county, I don't think would have any bearing because it's only statutory elements that we need to look to. But finally, if the court looks to canons of statutory construction, if it falls back on that as another way of evaluating this case, a fundamental canon of statutory construction is that you read subsections like this so that none of them are superfluous. And I think it is critically important for the court to consider the offense of burglary, which is one of the enumerated offenses in this and includes list of offenses. Burglary never has, as a statutory element, the actual attempted or threatened use of force. That is not the definition of burglary of a dwelling. However, as this court again has recognized in other contexts, there's an inherent risk in any burglary that someone is going to be seriously harmed because of the possibility of someone...
If they're discovered.
Of course.
Right.
But it's because of the inherent riskiness and the dangerousness of that offense that the Sentencing Commission included it on the list of enumerated offenses that should trigger the 16-level increase. However, it will never have a statutory element of force, attempted, threatened, or actual. So it would be entirely superfluous. In fact, it would be nonsensical to have drafted subsection 2 if subsections 1 and 2 had to be read in the conjunctive. And like burglary, aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a minor is an offense that has an inherent riskiness, inherent dangerousness, and seriousness to the victim of that offense. And so it is among the offenses the Sentencing Commission believed should trigger a more serious sentence for defendants who reenter this country illegally after committing it. We believe that the district court correctly interpreted the guideline, and we would ask that this court affirm the conviction and sentence
Thank
of
you.
The defendant.
I know we all want to go to lunch. I'll make this real quick. Your Honors, I totally object to the government asserting that there was given that there was sexual intercourse between my client and the 12-year-old girl below. He was charged with that conduct, but he's not stand convicted. And, of course, our courts say innocent until proven guilty. There was no conviction for sexual intercourse with this 12-year-old girl. And I object to the government raising that issue. It's just an incorrect statement of the facts. And she said there was that intercourse. Real
Matt,
quickly,
is it your position he did not have intercourse with her?
Your Honor, I don't know. You know, I wasn't the lawyer below. Our office was appointed to represent Mr. Vasquez. The record
and in
below,
your checking in, you didn't find out whether that was in fact what he did? What he pled guilty to is obviously something different.
Well, Your Honor, of course, what counts before this court and before the court below was what he was convicted of, not what he was charged with. He could have been charged with blowing up the World Trade.
I understand, but I mean, I wondered whether your indignation was based on a factual predicate, or you just objected as a legal matter?
I'm objecting as a legal matter, Your Honor, because
well, then you don't have to get so vehement about it, because you can be quiet
Your Honor,
and interested. Because I understand exactly what we consider and don't consider.
And, Your Honor, I will check into that Gomez case. I'm hoping that this court is referring to an Eighth Circuit decision that has ruled on this issue. And if that's the case, judges, Your Honors, of course this court is not bound by the Eighth Circuit decision. I hope this court looks at it. Because and is in the conjunctive, not in the disjunctive. And I'll repeat that. Thank you.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you.
Thank you for your help. We will we'll take the case under advisement, and court is adjourned.
Is there court tomorrow?